What's up, everybody? My name is Maddie, and you're listening to the Oh God Podcast. We are a community of people who are looking to ask big faith questions to create space to explore what those answers might mean for us and to just be a really inclusive space for people to develop their faith on their own time. So welcome to a faith community that isn't as definitive as the church can often make it seem. If you've listened to us for a while, you know that usually there are two of us. My co-host, Reeves, is on vacation this week, and so we're celebrating that she gets to go have a fun time. And we look forward to her coming back next week. I know I definitely miss her, but this week I'm going to be joined by my friend Connor Wright. Connor and I went to school together at the University of Missouri. And he has just a really interesting story. And so he's going to tell us a little bit about his journey from, you know, being someone who grew up in a church who considered going into ministry to now the life that he's living now and how he kind of got to this place where he is with his faith. And so I hope that hopefully you hear something that resonates with you in his story. I know there's a lot that I connect to, and I look forward to sharing that with you. So here's our conversation with Connor, and thanks for listening. Connor, how you doing?
Hey, Maddie. All right. How about you?
I think you need to catch your breath.
No, we're good. I'm going to power through it because I'm a professional.
Professional podcaster. I didn't know that.
Yep. Wow. First time on a podcast and I'm this professional.
You're batting 1,000.
I am 1 for 1.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm really excited that you're here. I know we've talked a lot about having you on the show for a while, so it's fun to finally get to have you on.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know. It's going to be an exciting time. It should be a good podcast.
Episode's going to be great. So yeah. We met in college. I feel like we need to give some context for how we know each other because no one else is going to know that. So yeah. We met in college.
My now fiance was in your sorority.
Yep.
And you just were always at my fraternity house.
Yeah. It was like a weird like combination of friend groups because like Sarah and I were friends. But then also my sorority big was best friends with some of your fraternity brothers. So then
We
just all kind of ended up in this weird muddled like 40 person friend group that just would like overlap all the time.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. Just one big drunken cuddle puddle.
Cuddle puddle?
Cuddle puddle.
That's new.
Yeah, I
have some concerns about it, but it sounds, I mean, I guess it's fun.
That's what it was.
Cuddle puddle. Wow. That's new. Somebody looked that up in the dictionary.
You've never heard of a cuddle puddle?
Never.
No.
Wow. Well,
like when you're laying in bed and your dogs hop on you, like.
Now I'm learning something. This is wonderful. This is us learning together.
See, this is Oz getting up on, your dog Oz getting up on the couch trying to hop in the, make a cuddle puddle with me.
Oh my gosh, he loves you so much.
I don't know why.
I don't either. It's so great.
Dogs love me.
He thinks. So, but yeah, so we met. We met in college. We became friends. And at some point, you and I ended up having a conversation about just like faith and church and stuff. I don't know if it was because I was working at a church or if it was because it came up.
Yeah, it was just kind of one night we started talking about it. And, you know, like everybody I think has one of those nights that they can think about where it's just some random person, not random, but like just one person in their life where they have this just ridiculously deep conversation about spiritual things or their faith or just a deep conversation about something that means a lot to them. And yeah, that's, you and I had that conversation about faith and we never really expanded on it. Like, we never went back.
No,
it was just a one-night thing.
Literally,
and now
we had
here.
A singular time. So you guys are getting to bear witness.
We're here 5 weeks, or 5 weeks, five years later.
Bearing witness to the follow-up. But no, I think you're right. Like, and I feel like that happened a lot kind of within our group, too, where, like, everyone had a story or an experience. And we would all only talk about it, like, once in, like, with different people. And then it would never get brought up again.
Yeah, it'd be like, all right, well,
now I know everything I need to know.
Good to know.
And it's great.
See you later.
I do count that as the time that we became best friends. Although you did not call me officially your friend until probably last year. But we...
No.
Yeah, because you'd be like, this is Sarah's friend. And I'd be like, I'm pretty sure I met you first. So
you did. You did.
Yeah, I was like, I take some offense. But that... Yeah, so I'm excited to get to talk about it a little bit. So I guess my first kind of question for you is just, what is your story? Like, what is your faith background?
So I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. They say they're non-denominational, but when you become a member of that church, they tell you that they strictly follow the views of Southern Baptists. Mm-hmm. And growing up, you know, my dad was always bouncing from job site to job site, construction site to construction site. He worked for the same company, but they were sending him all over the country, and my mom was busy with my three other siblings, and so I was trying to be as busy as I could be myself, and I always kind of gravitated towards the church because there was always something going on, whether it was my youth group on Sunday nights. I was playing drums in my youth group band. I was doing a, like, young first grade, like, whatever that's...
VBS?
Was VBS.
Vacation Bible School?
Yes. I was doing a Bible school. Like, I was helping teach a Bible school for first graders, and I had a bunch of friends in the church, and yeah, it was that was like my place I would go to where I just could be, you know?
Like, and churches, I resonate with that. Like, my kind of background with church is very similar, where there was a lot going on at home, trying to figure out how to do that, and then you have this like reprieve in this place where you feel like there are people who are actually interested in you, and you get to invest in that space, and it's not home, so it's a little bit different. So I resonate with that. I feel like that was like really huge for me, is having that growing up. I think I'd be a much meaner person without it, but it also like led to a very kind of interesting trajectory after that.
Yeah, you know, I think for a lot of people growing up that don't have the most stable or healthy home life, the church is a place where someone can go, like, be in a community that is safe, and like you can tell they genuinely care about you. But it was always like, I wasn't worried about it being such a safe place for me. I know that it is for some people, and I think that's great, but for me it was more just like there was always something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was really good friends with a lot of people in my youth group. I was really good friends with my youth group leaders. And, like, it was something that just kind of grew into its own community for me. Like, it was outside my school activities. It was outside just, like, soccer. It was outside, like, hanging out with friends from school. It was outside of family. And it was just somewhere where I could disconnect, unplug from everything else, and just focus in a very relaxed environment.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know some people, when they think of church, they think of, like, Catholicism, which is very rigid, very strict, and my experience with church growing up was not rigid at all. Like, the head pastor at my church wore jeans every day. I don't think he ever wore a robe. Like, that was the environment, and I think that really resonated with me, with just being relaxed and just a place to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Were you the only one in your family that was going, or did you eventually get your family to come with you, or how did that end up happening?
So my mom and dad, when I was very, very young, they met this guy named Paul who wanted to start his own church.
How very biblical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great guy. He's raised three incredible sons, all great people. My entire family is just phenomenal people, very nice, very kind, salt of the earth, all those good adjectives. And I think my parents, because they knew him and they knew what he was like, what his personality was, they wanted to support him, and so he started this church, which is what I eventually, like, grew up in. And he, like, I was at the church, I was the most active in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom and dad would occasionally go to Sunday service, but when I had the option myself, like, when I got my license is when I really got involved in church, because, like, there would be some days, you know, my sister had soccer, so we couldn't go to church, or my mom had something going on for her job, or my dad had something going on for his job, or we had a family lunch planned, or a family breakfast planned, or something. Like, there was always something going on. And so when I got my license, it gave me that freedom to be like, hey, I want to go to this place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to rely on anyone else. So it wasn't so much that my family wasn't involved with the church. It was more so like I was just, it was my thing. Yeah. And like that was it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. I feel like, again, that's like something very similar where it was like my thing, my escape for my siblings, theirs was like sports or other extracurricular activities that they were doing that was like their kind of space. But it was nice to have that be mine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I never had a problem with anybody saying that it was also their thing in my family. Like, mm-hmm. I don't get that.
Sorry,
twisted.
Jesus is exclusively for me. That's how this works.
He is mine. He is mine.
Yeah. No, I definitely get that. So you were in those programs, what, like all the way up through high school?
I did that Bible school. Like, I grew up in that Bible school, and then when I went to middle school is where my family, like, because so much started happening. You know, my oldest sister, I have two sisters and a brother, and my oldest sister is 9 years older than me. My brother is 6 years older than me. And the other sister, who is still older than me, I'm the youngest of four, is 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because we were so evenly spaced out, like, it was always, there was something going on. And so middle school, like, I was starting to really get into soccer, you know, weekend games. Meredith was in high school. Garrett was in high school. Claire was in college, and she was close, but there was always something going on. And so middle school kind of, like, dropped off. My attendance dropped off. It was always there. Like, it wasn't any resentment. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hate the church.
Yeah.
Hate going to church. But it was just something that didn't happen. So right. I was like, all right, trailed off. That's fine. And then when I got to high school, my mom kind of encouraged me to go back. You know, it was actually eighth grade, not even high school. My mom had told me about this Bible camp.
We love a good Bible camp.
Oh, this one's the best. Shout out Big Stuff.
Yes,
Big Stuff in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Oh, man.
Every year. And so eighth grade through junior year of high school, I went to Big Stuff for a week every summer. But that eighth grade, that first trip in eighth grade is what really, like, got me back into the church. It was like a kind of a reintroduction.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You seem like a Big Stuff kid.
What does that even mean?
Nobody knows what it means. It's provocative.
Settle down, Will Ferrell.
That's awesome.
Classic Blades of Glory reference for you.
I mean, you have to work in at least one, right?
I guess.
Yeah, it's part of the contract. So, okay.
I didn't sign a waiver.
Don't tell them that. So, go to Big Stuff. You're Big Stuff through high school. And then you're getting ready to go to school. Where did you go to school? Like, weren't you going to go?
Yes. So what Maddie is alluding to is I was so, like, throughout high school, after, like, I got reintroduced to the church, I really grew into it and everything. I was very excited to be a part of that community. I decided somewhere along, because I loved my youth group so much, I was like, this is so cool, and I really, really, really liked my youth pastor, great guy named Chris. I decided, you know, I wanted that job. I wanted to be a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Like, I was really firm in my faith. I was really, really enjoying being in that church, really enjoying talking about my faith, like, anybody. And I don't know, I'm an outgoing guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with kids, I think. And
some
I
might say.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I decided that was what I wanted to do, and I had the opportunity to, I was given the chance when I got a scholarship to Union University for academics and soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And then my senior year, I decided actually against it and to go to University of Missouri,
mm-hmm.
to be a journalist instead, which didn't end up happening because I left the J school and went into geography.
Yeah, so
go Maps.
See how well that – go Maps. Okay, Dora, relax yourself.
door, door. Oh, wait, no. I'm the map. I'm the map. Copyright.
Thank you.
No, but yeah, that was a big moment for me, though. It was like when I had that decision, I felt really, not relieved, but excited. Yeah. You know, like I decided that was, and that's weird that I had planned out my entire life when I was a sophomore or junior in high school, you know, and mm-hmm. I was really excited about it. And then senior year, when I made the decision to actually not do that, nobody was disappointed. They were like, okay, yeah, fine, you're doing your own thing. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was just like, you know, I've grown up in such a church environment. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound really weird and may be a little bit dumb, but I want to see what life is like outside of that environment.
Yeah. I don't think that's dumb at all. Like that, I mean, I think it's like important, and it also, I resonate with that as well. Because I think when you grow up in a church setting, that is like the bubble that you exist in.
Yeah.
And there's something about church culture that it sometimes is a good thing and sometimes is a bad thing, where you can get kind of caught up in that bubble and there's life happening around you and you get curious about it. Like you want to know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and how you interact with it.
Yeah. And well, there's one thing though, like the main thing that switched me off of becoming a youth pastor and getting more involved with the church was the day my parents told us, like all the kids, that they were going to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking back, it should have happened years before that. Like it was a very toxic, unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
When I met Sarah's parents and saw her family, I was like, oh, this is a healthy family dynamic right here.
Literally the Moores every time I'm like, this is what like families are supposed to look like.
And so, but I, you know, and they told us that, and it was still kind of like a little bit of shell shock. And I said, it happened to be a Sunday. I was like, well, I'm a go to church.
Right.
And I ran into my youth pastor, and he could tell something was off. And I just told him straight up, you know, I told him, I was like, my parents, like, they just told us that they're getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and the first words out of his mouth, like, it wasn't like, I'm so sorry, Connor. It wasn't anything, like, empathetic. It was just, that's not how God that's not how God wanted it to be. And that was just a real, like, I took it as a slap in the face. And I know he didn't mean it, like, mean. I think he was just, he didn't know what to say in the moment.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, but it was like that choice of words. Ugh.
And it's like that mindset is something I struggle with too, because that, like, I very much know people who that would be the response as well, because they are grieving the loss of the marriage as much as, like,
yeah,
the harm done. But it's also like my next question in this season of my life to someone like that would be, so God intended for it to be this unhealthy home environment,
yeah,
for my family, for my parents to be unhappy. There was intent, like, maybe this is like the right thing to do. And instead of consoling me, who chose to come to my faith community in order to be comforted, like I'm supposed to be, you hit me with, oh, well, God's sad. It's like, well, yeah, we're all a little sad. It's just,
yeah,
kind of what it is. Yeah.
And so that kind of turned me off. That was the moment though, like, when I really decided to go somewhere else, like to not,
yeah,
go into a church university,
mm-hmm,
like a church lifestyle. And I went to Mizzou instead, and no regrets. I mean, I met my future wife there.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, I feel like my favorite thing about that story, when I think about like the fact that you like make a plan and life never goes the way that your plan actually pans out. But also for me, like where I see God doing things from my perspective is, you wanted to be a youth leader and then you chose not to do that. And in not doing that, your whole life panned out the way that it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, in the church, we like try to funnel people into ministry positions or like church roles as though like that's the logical next step for them. And that's not for everyone.
No, it's not. And I think it's such a weird thing because you take that type of mentality into any part of any other field of life, any other career, any other dynamic, and you realize that, like, you're railroading somebody into a position, like, forcing it on them, and then you're thinking, like, any other dynamic, that's kind of toxic.
Yeah.
So why, when you do that in the church, is it not toxic?
Right.
And that might trigger some people, but that's just a thought that I've always had. Like,
no, I think it's super valid.
Yeah.
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 Like it's, yeah.
That's just my thoughts on it. You know, you railroad, you're forcing somebody into that position when they haven't even, like, fully committed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best people, the people that, like, are the best for that position are ones that make that decision themselves and fully commit to it themselves. Like, yeah, people are going to support them. People are going to, like, mentor them from the church because, you know, how are you going to be a youth pastor if you're
not you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, if you're not in church or anything. But, like, straight up, like, somebody's like, oh, I'm thinking about being a youth pastor. Thinking about it. And then just hounding them, shoving a bunch of things down their throat. And then you act surprised when they decide to not do it.
Right.
Like, there needs to be some sort of organic growth of commitment, you know, where it comes from them and not somebody else, because that's somebody what somebody else wants. And eventually they're going to realize that, the person in that position is going to realize that and be like, they're going to start to resent it.
Yeah.
You know, was this really what I wanted? Was this really my choice? And that's not a healthy place to be.
Right. Absolutely. And I think sometimes when you look at institutions like that and you see people who have been kind of put on that path, that energy comes through. Like, I feel like some of the most volatile ministry spaces exist from people who are burnt out, they're unhappy, they're feeling pulled in another direction, but there's a level of, like, fear in stepping away from this thing and doing something different. And so if you're not in it for the right reasons, you're not going to be doing things the way that they're supposed to be done. So I think that makes a ton of sense. So where are you now? Like, that was, like, kind of your experience then. I can attest that in college, I don't recall us going to many services together.
No, I think in college I only went to, you know, a handful, a couple times whenever I went back home, just to check in with people, see how they were doing, a couple times at school, maybe like once while I was at school. Sounds terrible, but then
listen, Sundays were recovery days. We know how that game goes.
I mean, I wasn't gonna say it. Dollar burgers and fries at Big 12.
That was church in and of itself.
And then just a couple times, you know, like if I ever went back to Sarah's hometown to her church, her parents would always like to go for, say, Easter or Christmas service or things like that. So anytime they came to Mizzou and on, like, a Sunday, her mom would want to go to church before they drove back to Chicago.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, well,
I guess we'll
good
see
boyfriend,
you.
I should probably hop in. Which, they're Catholic.
Well, so were you. Are we going to forget to tell everyone this wonderful tidbit of information? You are also a good Catholic man.
Oh, my gosh. This is most biggest bombshell moment of my life right here. Joking. But, so, Sarah, my fiance's family is Catholic. Sarah said that she wanted to get married in the church she grew up in. I said, all right, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's fine. Absolutely. I mean, I have nothing against the church. I'm perfectly fine with that. But in order to get married in the Catholic church that she grew up in, I would have to get confirmed, I guess, confirmed as a Catholic. And the guy who was doing our marriage, our deacon, first time we talked to him, he said, oh, Connor, I've already actually talked to your mom. Because I had asked him about that. I was like, do I have to get confirmed Catholic? You know, like, I wanted to do it right. I didn't want to, like, lie to this
to God,
to this holy man right here, who was about to marry us, and yeah. So he said, Connor, I asked him, and he goes, Connor, I actually talked to your mom already. You're Catholic. You were baptized Catholic. And I sat there for a minute, and Sarah and I both looked at each other. What? And I said, no, I was baptized as a Southern Baptist, like the church I grew up in was non-denominational, but they Southern Baptist. I was baptized Southern Baptist. He goes, no, your mom told me you were baptized Catholic. And I looked this man in the eyes, my first time ever talking to the man who was going to marry Sarah and I, and I told him, sir, I think my mom is lying to you. And he goes, oh, well, we'll have to check. And then we move on, and we end the call, and I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I wasn't baptized Catholic. Mm-hmm. I called her. I was like, Mom, I wasn't baptized Catholic. She goes, yes, you were. You were baptized at St. Boniface in Edwardsville. And I said, what? I don't remember this. And she goes, yeah, your dad wanted to baptize you as a Catholic when you were a baby. I said, okay, well, I can believe that. You know, Irish guy, Irish father.
Right.
Grew up in a Catholic family himself. Okay, I believe it. But you guys never told me.
Right. Also, I don't ever recall going to Mass.
Yeah, I don't ever recall going to Mass. What is... I never took the wafer in the blood of Christ.
Yeah, you never got a first communion.
Yeah, that's what it's called, communion. See how good of a Catholic I am. Yikes.
Well, and Southern Baptists, they like communion.
Yeah.
Too, you know?
So, this woman, though, was so determined to prove me wrong. She went to St. Boniface and, like, dug through the records herself to find my baptismal certificate. Because she had to prove it to the deacon that I was baptized Catholic, and I didn't believe it. But the next time the first time we actually met with our deacon in person, not over a Zoom call, he put the certificate down in front of me. He goes, yeah, you were a Catholic. I went, oh my gosh.
I just love that journey for you. It was such a wild ride.
Yeah. So good news is I'm allowed to be married in the Catholic Church now.
Yeah, congratulations. Thank you, Dad, for looking out for us from the jump.
He knew.
Just covering all your bases just in case. Making sure you get into heaven no matter what, you know?
Oh, yeah. Although, like, he keeps cracking jokes about, like, he'll get his, what's it called, officiant license. Just so he can marry Sarah and I in a trout stream. Like, that's his church.
That's so his church. So beautiful, but if someone gets to marry you outside of that church and it's not me, I will fight your father.
I am well aware of that fact.
Oh my God, I love it. So, right now, just like thinking of all of that stuff, where would you say you kind of are?
Oh, right. Life? Yeah, you already asked that. We completely deviated.
Yeah. You have to tell the Catholic story. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, you know, it's kind of a weird position to be because I'm not quite sure myself. I have nothing against faith. I have nothing against Christianity. I have nothing against the church. You know, that was a huge part of my life. There's no resentment there. And I think it's, I think growing up in that background or just having that background gives you a good moral foundation for your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not an active participant in that community anymore.
Yeah.
And when I have children, I'd like to raise them in a church, but I'm not going to force them.
Mm-hmm.
To go to church every week, you know, like I want them to enjoy it. I want them to understand what it is. And if they say it's not for them, then, you know, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Christianity does a good job of providing like a good, strong moral foundation to live your life by. My moral foundation may differ from somebody else's, but my foundation is one, you know, strictly just be kind.
Yeah. Like don't very be a dick. Anchored in love.
Yes. Don't be a dick.
That's you know what? That's like the gist of most of Jesus' teaching, right? Just don't be an ass. Keep moving.
The man had 1,000 analogies for one simple phrase. Don't be a dick.
God, it would be so much easier to read the Bible if we just summed it up that
you way. It'd be about 800 pages shorter.
The Message Part 2. All four Gospels. Don't be a dick. I love it. That's so great. So when you think about, like, all of the fond memories you have, I think that those are really great. Would you say that there are any, like, any fond memories that you want to share slash any things that you would hope to see done differently should you choose to go back and engage in a community again?
Looking back, there were a lot of things, a lot of times where people in the church kind of see themselves as superior to people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that air of superiority definitely needs to leave. And I think a lot of people, everyone should agree with that.
Right.
Because if you actually read the Bible, you know everybody is a sinner.
Right.
You're not better than anybody else.
Right.
You know, worry about yourself. How can you worry about the speck of sawdust in your neighbor's eye when you don't see the thorn or splinter
plank
in your own?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The whole plank. Tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That is one thing I just can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing would probably be just, you shouldn't be defined. Like, your entire personality, your entire character should not be defined as a churchgoer, a Christian, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that where you run into problems, I guess not problems, but you sit there, like, you can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you don't, if that's your entire personality, like, to me, that's just kind of a turnoff.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't know who you are outside of your faith,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think, and one of the ways that I've seen that play out, too, is almost, for me, like, not even making it to where, like, your Christian identity isn't inherently present in everything that you do, but, like, if that's your calling card, to where it's, like, so overt that everything you do has to be because you are a Christian and not just because it's an inherent part of your life, then you're, like, you're trying too hard. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Thank you for actually being able to articulate what
yeah.
I
No, I was tracking that completely.
I did not do a very good job of explaining that, but that
no,
is exactly right.
Honestly, the reason I knew where you were going is because that was, like, half of our friendship was when I was that person. Like, that nice little year and a half through college of, like, yikes. And it's, like, and it's not because the values inherently are different, but I think in that mindset, when you're in a community that tells you that everything you do has to be because, like, has to reflect back to you being a Christian versus you just inherently practicing your faith in a way that is more loving and kind, like, those are two different ways of being in the world, and everything having to reflect back on your Christianity feels like a very Western evangelical
yes,
mindset.
Like, if you're before every action you take, you're asking, what would Jesus do?
Right.
Instead of just understanding how to be a good person, like,
yeah.
what the right thing to do is, then that's...
Yeah.
Like,
the default should always be love. If it's outside of that, and then you're trying to frame it to fit Jesus...
Yes.
You're trying to...
That.
Yeah.
Like, you are using... You go through an action, and then you're trying to justify it as Christian in your head afterwards.
Right.
Is... Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think that's what makes it really hard sometimes, like, especially in conversations that I have with, like, you and other friends, of, like, seeing people figure out how to have a spiritual practice that is their own outside of the church. A lot of it comes back to that. Like, a lot of the communities that people participate in, some of them are really great, like the one that you came from or the one that I came from, where you feel like there's a space for you. And some of them just aren't. and it's hard to figure out how to have your faith outside of a community. But I also think that's what makes it feel more authentic sometimes, is it's not anchored in having to be centered on identifying as a Christian, and it's more anchored in, like, I have this spiritual practice that is my own.
Yeah.
And it is fulfilling to me, because it is fulfilling, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of that sounds great. And I think all the conversation that we've had, up to this point has been really great. And I'm really glad that you came on and wanted to just share your story a little bit. I feel like the more we get the chance to hear other people's experiences, the easier it is for us to figure out how to move forward with our own. So
absolutely, you know, and I think it's very important just to, I guess, just talk to other people, find out what their experiences are, because the more people you talk to and the more experiences you learn about, the more it'll help you relate to other people,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that's very important, is to be able to relate to other people or just be able to listen and understand someone else who has a different experience than you.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, my way is the right way.
Yeah. Empathy is key.
There you go.
We love empathy. Seriously, thank you for coming on. This has been really fun. You've been hounding me from the beginning for your time.
I was not hounding.
Okay, Connor. Do I still get to be on the show?
I mean, I was excited.
When am I going to get to be on the show? Exactly. So,
excited.
Which is great. I'm excited that you're here. This has been really fun. Is there anything you want to say to your fans before we
leave? What fans? I have no fans. Hi, Sarah.
Yeah. Well, friends, thank you so much for listening and kind of hanging out in this conversation. Make sure that if you are following, you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, follow us on Instagram. And I look forward to talking with you in the future, and also for Reebs to be back. We're so excited that she got a vacation, but we miss Reebs in the show. And by we, I mean me, because it's just me and Reebs. So I'm excited for her to be back, and we're excited to talk to you soon. So have a great rest of your day. Bye.